I love that that line. You know, I've heard 1,000 stories of what you're like, but I've also heard the tender whisper. And I'm sure there's people this morning who've heard 1,000 stories, but also you've heard the tender whisper, haven't you? You've heard God speaking directly into your life. You've just known God just moving in your circumstances. And I said before that I wanted to invite some people, if you just want to say something about what God has been doing in your life, what God has done, his faithfulness through the year. It's when we become a Christian, it doesn't mean that we're going to live on a perpetual high, does it? The psalmist David went down, it says, to the very depth, and so did the apostle Paul. But in the midst of all circumstances, God's grace, his peace, and his joy are there, aren't they? No matter what we're going through, we can know this blessedness of God, his presence, his, underneath it says, and all around the everlasting arms. And we know that, don't we? We know when we're going through tough times, what would it be like without Jesus? I don't know how people can cope in this world without knowing that personal touch, this unchangeable God who is a loving Heavenly Father, loves us more than we could possibly ever imagine. And, the tears will still come, the pressures perhaps will be felt, so will the temptations. But in Christ, we know there's a new dimension, don't we? A new direction, a new power in life to face the circumstances in which we live. And in Psalm 61, David says, "Lead me to the rock that's higher than I." So I want to just invite anyone, if you have something that you'd like to share, any testimony, to come and just to say what God's been doing and to testify perhaps his faithfulness in your life. He's going to be brave.
God's faithfulness never changes. Everything changes in our lives. Our age, our shape, our size, everything changes in our lives, our family, our friends, but God's faithfulness endures forever. There's been times in this last 12 months which have been pretty grim, not just in our families, but in everyone's families, but God is so faithful. There's times as well when you feel so low that you can't, I've felt it, that I can't even shout to God. I just, like, if you want to wallow, they think that's it, I've had enough, right? There's been times in this last few months where I thought I was losing the plot. I know some people might think I've well lost it, but no. And I even went to the doctors and they said, no, you're not, it's stress fatigue and you need to relax. And there's a few things that have gone on. Most recently, I was in such pain that I ended up going to casualty. And they said, I've got gallstones. If anyone's had them, got them, or know people with them, you know how nice that can be. And the pain was horrific. I was sent home. I came to church on the Sunday. I was in terrible, terrible pain. I'd taken all my painkillers and didn't have it in me to ask for any help from anyone. I just didn't want anyone to talk to me. I don't know what I wanted. I just wanted the pain to go away. I couldn't sit, I couldn't stand, I couldn't lie. I was just in pain. And Paul asked Paul Duckworth to come and pray for me, unbeknownst to me. And then when he came over, I must admit, the first thing I thought was, oh, just leave me alone. But Paul prayed for me, and thank God I've not had any symptoms since. So praise God for that. His faithfulness endures forever. So what I want to encourage people with is sometimes when you're at such a low point and you think, I can't even pray, I can't even ask, please continue to pray for people, because there's examples of it in the Bible. It wasn't Jairus' daughter that was praying or asking for prayer or healing. Other people were asking on their behalf, and God still answers prayer. I fully expected when I went for my scan for them to say, there's not an earworm, you're wasting our time, but they didn't. So when she said, oh no, you're going to need an operation, I said, oh, thanks very much. And I walked around the corner and burst into tears. And I was absolutely useless all the way back to the car. But, you know, God works in mysterious ways. I've had no symptoms. And people keep saying to me, you're supposed to be eating that. Should you be drinking that? I'm doing what I like. I mean, I'm having no symptoms, so I'm making the most of it. Now, I've been prayed for again. God, in his wisdom, will either heal me or will give me people around me who can heal me. I'm going to have an appointment with a surgeon. If that's the way the route God wants to go, great. If it's not, great. But praise God, because I've had no symptoms and I feel fine. So God's faithfulness endures forever.
For that. Something Karen just said to me just then just triggered me. I've got a little sharing that was only last week. I'd gone to see my sister-in-law and she opened the door to me and she looked terrible. I said, Maureen, you look awful. Are you? She said, I'm not. I came into the house, sat down. I said, what's up? She said, Margaret, she said, I've lost all the residents' money. She's in one of these, not a tenement, you know what I mean, a block of flats. And she takes care of the money. She puts on things for people and collects the kind of tontine from the residents. She said, I've lost all their money. She was distraught about this. She'd not slept. She said, Margaret, I've asked God, I've asked all the saints, I've asked everybody. She said, the manageress of the house had come in and searched her flat also, and she couldn't find it. She said, what am I going to do? I said, I'm going to just pray in Jesus' name. And I prayed a very simple, short prayer. And with that, she said, I think I'll just go and have another look in the bedroom. She went off. Within, it must have been 10, 20 seconds, she was back with the bespoke box. She said, Margaret, she said, I can't believe it. It's a miracle. She said, I just walked in the bedroom and it was like my eyes were opened and I saw it. So praise God, the £300 is restored and it was prayed for in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
I just want to give God the glory. I've been a Christian for about 14 years, and there was something that struck me in one of the songs we were singing, that we know that people are searching. And as long as I can remember, from Sunday school onwards, I've been searching, spiritualist churches, everywhere, just looking for a God. And then somebody through addictions, I was actually going through horrific alcohol and prescription painkiller addiction at the time, following a breakdown, and somebody came and witnessed to me and took me to an AA meeting, and Friday night and Saturday night talked to me about God, and I just couldn't concentrate on anything other than getting to church. And I walked in and I knew I'd come home, and I walked into a worship song and I was saved on a worship song. Couldn't tell you what it is. So worship's always been important to me. I've always found that place. But you know, there's something, it's not been an easy 14 years, and throughout those 14 years I've been battling with, when I became a Christian, I was quite suicidal before, from being 13, and when I became a Christian and I realized it was a sin, I thought, well, I can't go that route anymore. But there was still that desire to die, and I've been fighting that, and it's always been at odds with. So I'd worship and then go home on my own, and I've lived on my own a long time, and then battle through this desire to die because I couldn't live. I didn't know how to live, and all the promises, and I'd receive them here, and I could pray them for other people and believe for other people and minister to other people and have words of knowledge for other people. And God really used me in that way. But when it came to me, it just stayed here. And it came to a culmination 3 months or so ago. And I was hanging on to hope by the skin of my teeth. And I heard some teaching on the crowns of life. And they went through them, the seven crowns of life. And each time, each one, I sort of tipped myself off and disqualified myself. And then the final thing was they said, you know, even what you have sent up, God can change his mind and snatch it back. And at that moment, hope just died in me. And I went home and I tried to kill myself. And I cut my wrist and I was dying and I was at the point of death. I'd lost a lot of blood, or most of it. And I was praying that God would actually take me, but forgive me. The whole time I was saying, God, forgive me, but don't just let it happen. Don't let anyone stop me, you know. And out of nowhere, and I had a peace. Out of nowhere, he gave me an overwhelming desire to live, out of nowhere. And I couldn't understand it. And I snatched my wrist and I squeezed it so tightly and I stopped the process. And they saved me and I stayed with a friend and the mental health team got involved. I was still, nothing had changed. My reasons hadn't changed. And I was going up the stairs to my friend's house and I was getting lower and lower with depression and this overwhelming sense of loneliness that I've had since a child. And God said to me, you chose life, and you chose life because I put that desire in your heart. And all morning as we've been singing, and when I wasn't going to share this because this is a bit sort of deep and personal, but that, you know, when God says he gives us the desires of our hearts, because he puts those desires in there, and God is faithful. And I haven't, you know, there's not been an instant, I'm on top of the world, you know, there isn't. But I trust, and he wants that, and I believe that his faithfulness will see me through. He put a desire to live, and he's going to use that. And I just want to encourage anybody who's struggling at the moment that he does put desires in our hearts. And if anybody is lacking in a dream or a purpose or a desire, ask him, because it's there. And sometimes he has to take us to that dark night of the soul to get our attention. But he is faithful and he is a good, good God. And we are loved by him. And because we are loved by him, and that is who we are, we need no more. His grace is our sufficiency. And you know, no matter how low I am in the natural, I know that God put a desire for life in me because he has a life for me. And his word says so. He came to give us. His blood was shed in the heavenlies and on earth, so that we would have life, life to the full, life more abundantly. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a journey, it's a process, but he puts us in a family who help us along the way. So I just want to thank you for this family, and I want to thank you, Lord. And I want to thank you, Rob, as well.
This year I learned the lesson the hard way, and we don't learn lessons the easy way, do we? And God provided me the money, and I went out and bought a motorbike, and I love that motorbike. It was blue, and I spent a lot of money on it. And I went visiting my friend Roy in Lee, and I parked it behind this Ford Focus. So at 4 o'clock, I was getting ready to go, got all the gear on, looked out the window. So I turned to Roy and I said, there's nothing blue sticking out the back of your car anymore. And it suddenly dawned on me that bike had been stolen. And this doesn't happen. It doesn't happen to Alan. You know, my faith is so strong. Nothing bad happens like that. But it had gone. So then went through the procedure, you know, with the police and everything. And I ended up getting taken home on the back of my son's motorbike. Of course, then faith, trusting. Did I trust that that bike would appear? Well, I forgot all about that. So I started going through the insurance. So I got the insurance money. And I bought a car with insurance money. And then I was in Warrington and I went into this motorbike shop and I saw this really nice orange bike. So I went and put £1,000 down on that. And I said, can I pay it off monthly so I don't have to get HP or anything? So he said, fine. So I started paying off that bike and I went without to get the bike, you know. So 3 months later, I get a phone call. It's the police. He said, oh, I found your bike. He says, it's just like you lost it. It's not damaged or anything. He said, we did a drugs bust on a guy and we went in his shed and there was your bike. And it just dawned on me. Wait. Why don't we wait? Why do we rush? You know, try to work things out ourselves. I know I should have waited on God. You know, a lesson learned. Perhaps he taught me a lesson through it. But now I've spent a lot of money on another motorbike. I've got a car which I don't want. I use my free bus pass wherever I go. It's crazy. But I'm stuck with it all now. Because whenever I sell anything, I always lose money when I sell. I never make anything. So I've learned that lesson for the future. It's to wait and wait and wait. And wait to see God move.
I just, you know, I want to say thank you for, you know, our God is great, big God. And I know it's been a long journey with, since I know the Lord, you know, 2007, you know, I give the life to the Lord. And yeah, he's been answered loads of prayer. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, and God people here, so encouraged all, and me, Lord, you know, and my children and pray. I just want to give God glory and thank you for your prayer and also for Lord being mentioned this morning, you know, and a season of prayer. And I just, last year I enjoyed prayer missing pay season, but for I can't, you know. I really believe that, you know, I've been taught by the Lord, you know. And on when last day when they say something got to happen, you know, and my heart just really overwhelming, you know. I know the Lord, you know, it's Lord in you, in here, you know. We pray and he answer. We lays the hand on sick people and he heal. Just encourage you, you know, keep on praying and he will be healed and they will be healed. And so many things, you know, I just want to say, you know, just God is good, just whatever situation you up to, you know, it's that him work in you, he work in you, you know, but different try, different thing, but just a try thing, you know, God's work on it, and he will answer you, just keep on praying. I just encourage with Bob and her, you know, and with Paul, you know, like a if you want God to answer prayer, how much you put in prayer, you know, like a bank account, how much money you got, you put in, and you knew what you got in it, and that the tie of the Lord. Just thank you, God, for this prayer, you know, give God glory. Thank you.
There's a lot being said about God's faithfulness this morning, and Bill and I have known God's faithfulness to us this year in a way that we've never known before. As most of you know how difficult a year we've had with Bill's hospital visits and stays and all the complex issues that he has physically. But I also want to thank you for your faithfulness to us too. Because without your prayer support, I don't know how we'd have got through this year. You've just been absolutely amazing, all of you, for just lifting us up. Because there have been many times when our hands haven't been able to be held up like Moses. You know, when you've been supporting our hands all the year through, and I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I know Bill would want to do the same. He's still struggling physically. He's not out of the woods by any means, so please continue to uphold him. And we have felt your prayers tangibly in a very real way, and I know the power of prayer I've known it all my life, but I know it even more so this year. So thank you so much. I thank God for his faithfulness, but I thank you all for your faithfulness too. God bless you.
Hi, I just want to give thanks to God for my life, really, because for as long as I have a memory, have an awareness, there have been so many attacks on my life where people say to me, you shouldn't be living, you know. And when I talk about attacks on my life, it's after the event that I realized, well, God's got something very special for me to do, for me to be, for who I am, because how else am I surviving what I have survived? And the latest attack that I had was last May, when this big wagon just reversed into the front of my car while I was asked to remain stationary to allow him to do an awkward maneuver in the road. And little did I realize he was going to come straight for me in reverse and smash the front of the car. The effect of that is that it's knocked my spine out of alignment. It fractured a vertebrae higher up in my spine. And I've spent since May to the present time where, you know, doctors have said, did the accident cause this? Did it not cause it? Doesn't matter whether it caused it or it didn't. The fact is that it happened, and you know, it's over to God regarding what is going to be done about it, because it has affected mobility. It has meant that I've been in continued pain. It has affected the quality of life, but these are the dark moments, the downsides. But what it hasn't done is diluted or watered down or weakened, you know, my trust and my faith in God. I go on next Sunday for an admission into Walton Neuro Center, because when I saw the specialist quite recently, he told me that surgery was not an option. Since they first saw me, there has been marked deterioration in my ability to walk, and that it's because of pressure that this disc is causing on lower spinal nerves. And if I don't have the surgery, A, I won't be able to control my bladder or my bowel. B, I won't be able to walk. And I thought, these are not the options that I'm prepared to accept. And I have prayed and I have trusted God. And what Karen shared in her testimony is that, you know, I have the faith for God to heal me instantly. But it hasn't happened like that, and I don't know why not. But I prayed that, okay, Lord, if you want me to go through this surgery, then that you'll direct me to the right people, that they will be, you know, your handwork, that they will be in control of what has got to be done. And basically what is going to be done is they're going to remove the compression that's on my spinal nerves so that the function will be restored and that I will be able to get back to normal activity, normal life. And I just trust and pray and just know that I'm in his hands, and it hasn't been an easy year, but going through all of that has caused Paul's heart to be touched in a way that this is the bonus. I didn't want to become a victim for God to work this way in somebody else's life. But if that is what it has taken, then I know that God is in the process of restoring Paul as well as myself. So I thank people that have prayed for me in this fellowship. And I just ask for continued prayer. My surgery is actually going to be on the 4th of January. So I go in on the Sunday. So you won't be seeing me next week. But thank you for listening.
Let's pray now, shall we? Let's pray for the breakthrough, shall we, here? We want to see a real touch of God and a real move of God. So perhaps just stretch out your hands, and, you know, if you do get a word or anything from God, then give it. Or if you want to pray, pray. But let's just believe that God will break through. And, you know, as you hold on, Babs, as you just trust in God, you know, he is the one who is able, isn't he? There's nothing too hard for God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you, first of all, Lord, that you are God and that you're truly great, that nothing is too difficult for you. Lord, when you speak, Lord, things that didn't exist came into existence. The heavens just formed by your word. Lord, nothing is too hard. Lord, you created the heavens for us to observe and to see just your greatness and your glory. Lord, the extent of your power that you were able to say, and he also made the stars. Lord, and you also made Babs. Lord, you made her, you formed her. Lord, as your word says, Lord, in the darkness in the womb, you formed her. Lord, you even knew the very steps of her life. Lord, you brought her even to this place today. And Lord, we don't understand all the things that happen to us or around us. But one thing we know is that you're a good, good Father. Lord, that you never change. And Lord, we just trust you, Lord, in this situation now. We trust you that you will touch Babs powerfully, Lord. Lord, that you indeed will stretch out your hand to heal and to deliver. Lord, that you would just open up heaven, as it were, over her at this time, that she might know this open heaven. Lord, that whatever, Lord, is loosed here on earth, Lord, is loosed in heaven. Lord, and we just now just pray for healing. Lord, just to be given to Babs at this time, Lord, that you would just put her back into right order. Lord, these discs, Lord, that you would just bring healing and restoration to them. And Lord, on Monday as well, Lord, as she goes into the hospital, we do pray for great wisdom, Father, for those that are looking at the back and looking at the operation and so on, that, Lord, you would just give them great insight and wisdom. And that, Father, this would be a good result. Lord, that these things that could be, Lord, that the effects that could be that Babs has spoken about, Lord, it won't come to that. But, Lord, she will have normal function. Lord, that she will be able to walk. Lord, even to be able to run. Lord, as impossible as it sounds, Lord, we pray for your hand to touch her now, Lord, in healing power, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Just as we were praying then, I started to pray in tongues, and I was praying before Rob did, because he gave me this in my circumstance, about that we were formed in our mother's womb, and I was asking God to take you back to that point of creating the spine. And I started to pray in tongues, and God was praying for restoration. I saw you on a high cliff, and I was anywhere in the shape of an eagle, and the eagle was waiting expectantly, instinctively knowing that at the right time, the right wind would come and carry you up to the great heights, and that it would be effortless. And then he said to me, he will restore you. He will restore your youth like that of the eagles. And that's a word for you from the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Just, Lord, just tell me, lay your hand on. I've not already been paid, but Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. It's true, Father God. You say, raise your hand on them and pay, and you will be healing them, Lord. Lord, you the Jesus, you the Savior and healing. Lord, we declare that she are healed, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for that. It's good to hear, isn't it, of the faithfulness and goodness of God in our lives. And I just wanted to remind us just a few things that God said to us this year, and to encourage us really to reflect back on the challenge perhaps that we've heard as well. You know, when we hear the word of God, often, I don't know about you, we can sort of put it through our own little filter system, can't we? And we kind of rationalize what God said and think of the sort of the pros and the cons about, you know, what maybe he said to us and what we've heard, and maybe think about the cost of what the words mean and that have been said to us. And as we do this, sometimes we do it without even thinking it. Maybe you compare what other people's lives and say, well, you know, maybe is God really saying that to me? What about them? They don't live that way. They don't do that. And often what we do if we rationalize this in this way, we actually diminish, don't we, the word of God. We treat it as perhaps something that we're not taking as seriously as we should, because God speaks very personally to every one of us. Those small whispers, those things that God says. When we listen to God and when we take those steps of obedience, often they're just little steps of obedience, so they don't seem like massive, but by taking a small step, it increases our faith. We've listened, we've heard God, and we've taken that step. And meditating on God's word is very different from rationalizing it, isn't it? We can meditate on the word of God, and it's a very positive process, because what we're doing is we're chewing over what God said with a very positive leaning into God. We want to know what God's saying. We want to hear what he's saying to us and to do what he's speaking to us. So meditating on the word of God is just such a positive thing and just so different from rationalizing. And so it's important that we spend time just reflecting on what God said to us, and to have this attitude of goodness. Goodness speaks of this Godward attitude, an attitude that just wants more and more of him. It has a force of mind and a force of intention that says, whatever you've got for me, Lord, I want it. And if that means just these small steps of obedience, even sometimes big steps for us, but to do, to say yes to God. And in one of the scriptures that came across to me this year was in Philippians 2. And it says, for it's God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. And the work of God isn't to make us more comfortable, is it? It's not to make us feel good about ourselves like some sort of self-help manual. but the word of God's word is working in me, both to will and to do what God wants. Each one of us, you know, when we hear the testimonies and we hear people stand, you know, Michelle spoke about choosing to live. And we need to make choices, don't we? Choices for God. I choose God. I'm here for an appointed time such as this. That's what every one of us can say. That actually you're here, you're born at this time, in this age, because God's chosen you for such a time as this, each one of us. And so there's a call and a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. And we need to just really get a hold of this, that actually we do have, God has a plan for us. And looking back, we can look back in a very positive way or look back in quite a negative way. There's people in the Bible who look back like Lot's wife, who said, you know, don't look back. You know, don't look back to your old life, as it were. But despite that, she longed for Sodom. Still in her heart were the things of Sodom, the things of her old life, the things that she longed for of the past. And so that was a looking back in a very negative way. The people of Israel, they crossed over the Jordan. It's a type of baptism. I was struck by the baptisms this year. Just great to see people going through the waters of baptism. But as I was thinking about these things, I was thinking, just this the choice that we have. You know, that it is about leaving behind this old life and living for God, a new life for him, in the calling and the plan and the purpose he has for each one of us. And Jesus said, didn't he, that no one who takes hold of the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And I've, as many of you know, I've done farming in my time. And I've looked back when I've been cultivating fields in a tractor, just looking back like this. And it's very difficult to drive in a straight line when you do that. And to my horror, when I looked back, I just saw the waving line in this field, and I thought, I'm going to have to sort this out before the farmer comes and checks on me working, because that ain't good. So then I thought, I remember now what I was told, and that is that you just look at this object in the distance. We all know it, don't we? But when you see it in reality and you see it happen, it's quite amazing that you actually just choose a point in the distance, and you just use that as your compass, as your point, and you just head for it. And I did that, and the next row that I did was just perfectly straight. And then by the time the farmer had come, I covered me tracks. It was okay. It was all right. But we do need to remember that, don't we? That, you know, we have a heavenly hope. And if we set our hopes on him and our desires on him, we will plough a straight furrow. But if we're constantly looking back and longing for the things of this world, then it just isn't good. We just will end up all over the place in all kinds of trouble, even in many ditches, perhaps. And there's two questions, I think, that we often need to ask ourselves. First of all, what's God saying to me? And what am I going to do about it? Important questions when, you know, we're listening to what God's saying. What is he actually saying to me? And now, what's my decision? What am I going to do now in response to his word? And one of the words that was given to us, you might remember when Malcolm Heading came to speak to us early in the year. And it was a time when we were speaking about, at the beginning of the year, about the kingdom of God and living in his kingdom and for his kingdom. And it's a verse of scripture that he brought that we probably many of us have committed to memory in Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And he said, well, what is the kingdom of God? And he said, well, the kingdom of God is the place where God is present and where he reigns. And if the kingdom of God's in my heart, then he's both present there and he reigns there. And I heard through the year just people saying about the presence of God and how we need the presence of God. And in many countries in the world where there's incredible revival happening, in Argentina and other countries, what they're finding is that it's the presence of God. When God is present and speaking in the midst of his people, it makes all the difference. And how do we get into the presence of God? Well, simply, it's our, we've heard before, our individual walk with God is so important, you know. The choices that we make, the individual choices are just so, so vital. If you want the presence of God, we can't live the way we used to. We need to be seeking first the kingdom of God and looking to him. We need to be people of prayer. One of the things he challenged us with was, you know, the prayer meetings. You know, if we really do want these things, let's get into prayer. Let's really seek him. Let's really go for it and see this breakthrough that we're longing for. Because it doesn't just happen. Prayer is work, you know. Sometimes we think that prayer is just something we do before we do the work. But that isn't the case. Prayer is the work. Prayer really is. When we're seeking after and praying for God, it can be really hard work. Prayer, in some ways, it's been said, hasn't it? It's the easiest and yet the hardest thing to do. Easy for us to do in one sense, but so difficult in many others. But prayer is work. And it has great, great effects, as we heard even in those testimonies, that when we pray and seek after God, it's then that we see these breakthroughs. And we wonder perhaps why we've experienced an incredible presence in many of the meetings here. Well, there's a lot of prayer being going on. People have been really praying. And that's wonderful, isn't it, when we pray and seek after God. But the more we do this, the more I believe we'll see these breakthroughs and the presence of God. And I'm also not talking about this sort of simulating, if you like, the presence of God, where you can, if you like, hype up the music, get some fancy lights, do some fake thunder, whatever it is you want to do, and somehow that's bringing in the presence of God. Well, it isn't. It's when we seek after God with all of our hearts, when we really yearn and long for him, we can be on our own and know the very presence of God, the weight of his glory just coming around us. And it's when we do this, when we really truly seek after him, that we experience this weight of glory of God. And Malcolm Heading also, as he was spoke about the supernormal. Do you remember him using that phrase, the supernormal of God? And John, one of the things that John Savage said is that Christianity that doesn't begin with the individual doesn't begin. Christianity that ends with the individual ends. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? That it starts with us individually in our relationship with God, or it doesn't start at all. And if we end, if you like, our individual walk and relationship with God, then what do we have? So he spoke about the supernormal. God's bigger than time, of space and matter. Jesus, he reminded us, walked on water. Philip was transported supernaturally, or supernormally is the phrase he used. And how is it possible? Well, God's beyond comprehension, isn't he? And he made it all. And he's not limited by anything. I just think, as I was praying before, you know, about, you just need to, how many times have we stopped and just looked at the universe that we live in and just see the size of it? I'm convinced, you know, God made the universe and everything so big and so glorious and so wonderful so that we get some idea of what he's like and some indication, even a small indication of eternity. People just cannot fathom the size of this universe that we live in. The billions upon billions of planets and of stars within our own solar system. And yet, even billions upon billions of those. Quite incredible. And God also made the stars. We sometimes limit, don't we, our comprehension of God and what he's like, and what he can do. We bring him down to our size. But Malcolm spoke to us and challenged us with this whole idea of the supernormal, and how the early church demonstrated the supernormal. People were healed by passing shadow, by handkerchiefs being prayed over, by a word of faith. Prison doors were flung open. And angels came to people's rescue. And how is it possible today? Well, he spoke about alignment. Aligning ourselves with the will of God. And that was a challenge and something that's come through quite strongly as well. It's this whole thought of aligning ourselves with the will of God. And even the last time when we broke bread together, I was just challenged by this very thought of alignment, of when we break bread, when we come together in that way, it's a challenge to us to actually get our relationships right with one another, isn't it? It's a chance for us to be right with God and to be right with one another. And it's in that rightness, that alignment, that as we start getting these things right, if we're taking offense, we shouldn't. We need to realize that we're all so different. Every one of us, aren't we? We're made by God for God's glory. And each of us has different gifts and different talents, different ways of communicating. And sometimes we can say things that rub each other the wrong way. Perhaps a word that maybe has been said insensitively or whatever it might be. But how do we respond to that? Are we willing to forgive? Are we willing to just have, to want the unity of the Spirit, to want God and rightness and the blessings to flow through that? To be those who are stewards of this wonderful anointing that we can have of God in this place by actually being determined to be right with one another in our relationships. So important, isn't it, that we do that? Because the glory of God is more important than our own personal rightness, isn't it? What's so much more important is that we're right with God, right with one another, so that God can really move in and through your life and in this place. He also went on to talk about biblical transformation being a command that requires obedience. It doesn't happen by osmosis. I love that little phrase. These things don't just happen by us somehow sitting in a meeting and absorbing something. That actually we hear what God is saying to us and then we act on it. What are you saying? What am I going to do about it now? It's quite a challenge. We don't just absorb this stuff and then we change people. There's a transformation taking place. And that was a word as well that was given quite recently when Roy spoke, wasn't it, about every joint supplying in the body. And that just struck me. You know, we are members together in one body. And he spoke about the dismembered body parts, remember? That actually they are useless when they're dismembered and not part of the body. But it's where they're joined. It's where the joints are that my arm becomes effective. It's where the muscles and everything connect in my eyes that enable me to see. It's all of these connections, isn't it, within the body that makes the body effective. And so can we see then why Paul used that incredible example of the body for us as a church? That the more connected we become and the more one we become, the more we are able to relate to one another and grow together, and encourage one another, the more powerful that is. I was struck as well by a guy, Gareeb, when he came and spoke to us. And he came from a Muslim background, if you remember. And when I asked him a question about what is it that really is the biggest thing that is preventing, if you like, Muslims from coming to Christ, one of the biggest barriers, he said, is that when someone comes to Christ, they need to have a loving community, a family. And because they are often shunned from their own families, they suffer persecution and so on. So someone coming to faith needs to know the love of a body, of a family around them. And that just confirmed what we've been saying this year about this body of Christ here just becoming this loving, inclusive community of people who are interested in one another, pray for one another, come together, help one another, support and love God together in this great loving community. They'll know we're Christians by our love for one another. And if you remember, we had a season of prayer as well. And in that season of prayer, we spoke, didn't we, about renewal. And in Psalm 85, verse 6, the scripture says, "Will you not yourself revive us again? Give us life again. Will you not yourself revive us and give us this life so that your people might rejoice in you?" And this has just been such a prayer that God would come and revive us again and renew us again and just give us this passion and hunger and desire and thirst for more and more of him. And to be truly on fire for God. And it's when we really light up for God, you know, that we can have this a great impact on the world that we live in. And as we prayed about these things, we prayed about this renewal of relationship with God, of our passion for God, renewal of relationships with one another, and renewal for the mission as well. The harvest fields are white, aren't they? And pray that God would send workers into this wonderful harvest field that is here, that God would do this. And it's been wonderful to see, you know, people added to us this year as well. You know, it's God, isn't it? Adds to the body, adds to the church here. And it's just been wonderful to see how God's been doing that here, that as we just pray and seek him and love one another, that God also just adds people who belong to us, who can serve here with us and become part of this wonderful family of God here. I'm going to stop shortly. There's so much more I could say about things that have been said this year. But let me just mention as well that one of the things that was said this year, I think it was Howard Morgan. He also spoke, didn't he, about the Shadowlands, coming out from the Shadowlands. I just thought that was a real timely word. I don't know whether you remember as well, earlier in the year, Dave Elms had prophesied about people coming out from the shadows. And then when that came along as well, this whole area of people coming out from behind the boulders, behind the rocks, behind the shadows, and walking in the light, walking with God. And, you know, if that's still you, it's still each one of us, we need to come out from the shadows, don't we? And to live for God, not allow us to be drawn back into the shadow lands, back into, you know, the passions of this world and the things of this world that so easily just extinguish the flame of God, but to walk in the light and to seek him first and to see what God will do as we just give ourselves to him. And J.C. Ryle says, he only lives who lives for God, and all are dead beside. And in Proverbs, a life devoted to things is a dead life, a stump. A God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. I want a God-shaped life. One of the key passages that we've been speaking about this year is Romans 12, and about being squeezed into this world's mold, not to be squeezed into it. And one of the translations of that is that I get down on my knees and I cry out to God that you might be different. That was Paul's prayer, if you like. I get down on my knees. I urge you. I cry out to God not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need renewed minds, don't we? To be seeking after him, putting him first. And it's such a joyful thing to have a renewed mind. It's a wonderful thing to be released from the things of this world that have kept us bound for so long. Not to have the striving after the things that are fruitless, but actually to be looking forward to things that God has. We can be fruit bearers, can't we? We can bear a great, great fruit for God as we seek him, put him first, and just want more and more of the Spirit in our lives. You know, blessed, it says, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are touched by God. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, who purify their hearts for him, for they'll see. And I want to be, I'm sure each one of us does here, don't we? We want to be people who see, don't we? Have eyes opened to this wonderful hope that we have. And just on that note, and I'll finish with this. I spoke a little a while ago about, I think it was in, was it Matthew 8, where it talks about the blind man who was touched by Jesus several times. And each time he saw more clearly. And it's when we're touched by God, when we're touched by Jesus, we have these hearts that are just open to him, and God just comes and touches our lives, that we start to see. And we start to see more and more clearly. But for that to happen, we have to put ourselves in a place where we can just receive and hear what God's saying to us. Position yourself. Position yourself in such a way, each one of us need to do this, that we really hear what God's saying, to really go for God, to be those people who lean into God, who want him, who desire him more than anything that this world could ever give. And there were many more things said. I'm sure there are other things that you will remember yourselves this year, and much more I could say now. But I just wanted to give you a reminder of just some of these things that have been spoken. We are the body of Christ. We're a family together. We are here to serve him. You have gifts and talents to give to God so that his kingdom can advance and people might be set free and might come into life everlasting. What a great hope that is. So let's just pray, and perhaps if we have something to finish with as well, and then a time of fellowship at the end. So let's just give this to God, shall we, and thank him for all that he's done and all that he's doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're not satisfied with just a little sip, Lord, of you. Lord, we're not satisfied with just a little tiny crumb of bread. But Lord, we want the whole pitcher. We want the whole thing. We want all the water. We want the whole loaf. We hunger and we thirst for more and more of you, Lord. We hunger and thirst for righteousness and for the things that really glorify and please you. Lord, we want to live lives, Lord, not to please ourselves, but to please you. Lord, and we know that when we please you, we, Lord, are fulfilled and blessed ourselves. So, Father, help us, Lord, as we, Lord, look back on the year. Lord, help us, Lord, just to learn those lessons, those things that you're teaching us, to grow, Father, and go from strength to strength until the full light of day when you return. Lord, we want to be those people who truly are ready for you when you come. Lord, to live lives that are glorifying to you. Thank you for the calls and plans and purposes that you have for each of our lives. Lord, we just want to be transformed and changed, molded into your image. Lord, to look like you, for people to look at my life and each one of our lives and see something of the life and the reality of Jesus in us. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Have your way. Have your way. Lord, where there's things that just need to be touched in our lives, Lord, we ask you, Lord, we open ourselves to you. We don't want to be those who hide in the shadow lands any longer, but Lord, come into the glorious light of your presence to be transformed and changed into your image. For Lord, we ask it now in Jesus' name.